Well, greetings everyone. At the time that I'm recording this video, the church is still celebrating the glorious season of Easter, when we think intensely about and enter more deeply into the mystery of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And the church proclaimed at this time that the Lord is risen, alleluia. Truly he is risen, alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, alleluia. And the liturgy of the church tries to move us into living that alleluia spirit that bases our life on the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And throughout the church's liturgy, one of the things that we go to is the book of the Acts of the Apostles. It's a very interesting book to read, and I highly recommend that you take some time to read it, perhaps in one session. I have this wonderful series called the Truth and Life Dramatized Audio New Testament, and I listen to it every now and then, and listening to the Acts of the Apostles is very, very inspiring. And we see in that book the effect that the resurrection had on the apostles and on the men and women who had encountered Christ and experienced his grace. The resurrection was not just some story that they liked to talk about, that even for generations people in the church liked to talk about, but it's a reality. It's a mystery in the life of Christ that touched the hearts of so many people and changed them and made them great servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I feel that it's important for us to allow the resurrection of Christ to touch our lives, to inspire us, and allow it to become like the wind in our sails that gives us true hope, knowing that Christ truly is risen from the dead, that he has conquered evil, he's conquered suffering, he's conquered the devil, he's conquered death. And all we have to do is to follow him. And if we follow him, we're on that path of victory. The liturgical season of Easter is a time where I like to share this personal story that has affected me deeply, a story that concerns my grandfather who died several years ago. And there's something about his life and his death that really has touched my heart and has helped me to understand more clearly the power of the resurrection of Christ, how that resurrection of Christ can touch someone's soul at any given moment. Like most families and friends, on Easter time we would all gather together and, you know, might have an Easter dinner or go to church and exchange Easter greetings and, you know, praise the resurrection of Christ and realize that his resurrection is the reason that we come together to celebrate Easter. My grandfather, whenever he would celebrate Easter, he'd come to visit me and he would never say Happy Easter. And he would never say, you know, something like Alleluia or Christ is risen, let us, you know, rejoice and be glad that he's risen. Instead, he would come up to me and he would shake my hand. And my grandfather had been involved in construction work and, you know, had been a fisherman and worked on cranes and all kinds of machines and was a mechanic. I mean, he was such a good mechanic that he could hear a car or truck driving down the road and he could tell you what was wrong with it and how to fix it. And he had a strong hand grip. It got weaker as he got older, but that's kind of the way of things on this earth. And he'd come up to me on Easter Sunday and he would shake my hand for about 20 minutes, literally 20 minutes. When he shook your hand, you were there for like 20 minutes. And he never said Happy Easter. He would say to me, he moved the rock. He would just repeat that again and again. He moved the rock. You remember when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, they brought his body into a tomb and they put a big stone in front of the tomb to block the entrance to the tomb, and later it was sealed and a guard was put there to protect the body to make sure no one would steal his body and promote some false rumor of the resurrection. And early in the morning of that first Sunday after he had died on the cross, the women went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, and they found the stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. The only thing left there were his burial cloths. Jesus had risen from the dead. And later on, they began to witness the appearances, the real appearances of the resurrection of Christ, his risen appearance with him alive again. Well, my grandfather would zero in on the fact, not on the resurrection, but on the fact that a rock had been moved. And I used to think that because he had worked on cranes and, you know, excavating machines and things like that, that the most important thing about Easter was the fact that on that first Easter morning, a rock had been moved. And without hydraulics or any kind of pulleys or machineries, it had been moved. And my grandfather zeroed in on that. And he'd say, he moved the rock, he moved the rock. And over the years, I used to think, boy, my grandfather doesn't get it. He doesn't understand why we're celebrating Easter. So I would try to, in a humble way, you know, try to maybe, I felt like I was correcting him, even though that's hard to say to, you know, someone who's your elder. And I would say, yes, he moved the rock and, you know, he rose from the dead. Jesus, the Son of God, who came to save us from sin and from death and from evil and from the devil, has risen from the dead. He's alive again. And therefore, to my grandfather, I said, therefore, we could trust in him and we have to follow him so we can make our way to heaven. And we have to know his teachings and, you know, study the Gospels and so on. I would say, like, you know, just little things, and not all of that in one breath, but I would say little things to try to focus his attention on the fact that Christ rose from the dead, and that was most important. And it almost seemed like my grandfather just wanted to focus on the rock. He would say things like, yeah, he really showed them, they put a rock there, but he moved that rock. And anyway, I felt like, boy, I really can't get through to him. And year after year, Easter after Easter, he'd come up to me and say, he moved the rock, he moved the rock. And toward the end of his life, he had become very weak and sick, and, you know, was going through all kinds of, you know, procedures to help him, and it was hard, and many people, you know, worked to help him in his, you know, last years and days, weeks and days, and try to, you know, give him consolation and to help him with various things in life, and it was hard to see my grandfather become so weak, and because, you know, he had been really a strong guy, you know, with, you know, working on the construction stuff and the machines and as a mechanic. And, you know, I think sometimes it's harder for us to see our loved ones in such a debilitated state than it is even to lose them in death. It's really hard to see that. But anyway, he was suffering, and I think we all kind of knew that, you know, he was coming up to the end of his life. And I would go visit him and bring him communion, and I would teach him about the kingdom of God and about eternal life and trust in the Lord, and I'd give him a blessing, and Easter would roll around and he would say, he moved the rock. And I used to think, boy, I don't have a lot of time left to teach him about Jesus Christ and about how we need to put our faith in him. He would just say, he moved that rock, he moved that rock. And anyway, that's the way it was. And I remember it was the last day of his life, and I got a text message from someone who told me to get to the hospital quickly, and that our grandfather was dying, and, you know, come here quickly. And I said, okay, I better go. And at the time, I was in a place in Massachusetts where in order to get to the hospital, I had to drive north. And you know when someone you have loved and who's always been in your life is going to die, you start to feel a little bit disoriented about basic things, and you feel like the earth has fallen away from beneath your feet, and life as you know it has totally just been upended. And I kind of was experiencing that. You don't really see that coming, but it just comes to you. And I had to drive north, and I got in my vehicle and I began to drive, and there really wasn't much traffic. And I said, good, I'm not gonna speed because that's dangerous, but I'm gonna make sure I get there. And there's no traffic, so I'm going. I think I'll make it to the hospital before he dies. I'll be able to see him. I was driving for about 20 minutes, and then I realized I was driving south. And in my sort of disorientation, instead of getting on the ramp to go north, I got on the ramp to go south. And I was like, oh no, I'm in big trouble now. I've lost not only 20 minutes in the wrong direction, but now I gotta turn around. And in Massachusetts, when you wanna turn around on a highway, you have to, it almost feels like you gotta drive down to Florida and, you know, make a loop around the Daytona 500 and then come back up. And anyway, I managed to find an exit to turn around, and I got going north again. I was frustrated. I was like, boy, I'm not going to make it now. I can't believe this happened. And fortunately, I made it to the hospital, and he was still alive. And I got to see him, and he had been at that stage where he was taking a breath, you know, every several seconds, which is really hard to see. And and he'd been reduced to a whisper. He was conscious, and he could talk, but he could only whisper. And it was really tough, but I was able to give him absolution, forgiveness for his sins. I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I was able to give him the anointing of the sick, and something called the apostolic pardon, which is a special, it's called an indulgence of the church. It's a prayer that the priest says for those near death, which actually, it's hard to comprehend all of this because it's all part of the mystery of God and the mystery of God's judgment. But if they were to go to purgatory, this prayer actually basically clears that up. They'll go straight to heaven. And anyway, I gave him the apostolic pardon, and then he was able to receive the Eucharist. I had the Eucharist with me, and a lot of people at that point in their life cannot receive communion because they can't swallow. But my grandfather could, and I broke a piece of the sacred host, which is the real presence of Jesus. It really is. And I gave it to him, the body of Christ, and he was able to receive communion. And I was so grateful for that. And then I gave him what would be his final blessing. I said, "May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And my grandfather motioned to me to draw near to him as if he wanted to tell me something. And I leaned up to him and I put my ear near his mouth, and he was struggling to breathe, and he whispered these words to me. He said, "He moved the rock." And those were his last words to me on this earth. And I heard those words and I marveled at it and I rejoiced that all those years when he was saying he moved the rock, he really was saying, "I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he's alive, that he is the Lord, the Son of God." And he did that at the very end of his life. He died about, I think, a few hours later, several hours later. And believe it or not, I was actually happy because I really felt, even to this day, I still feel it, that he did not die. But I felt like he went right into the mystery of eternity, right into the mystery of communion with the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into the mystery of eternal life, of communion with Christ, with Our Lady, with the angels and the saints. And I was marveling at God's providence that here I was there at his deathbed. And if it weren't for my grandfather, I would not exist as a human person. I would not be alive. And somehow in God's plan, and only God can understand this, if I were not a priest, perhaps he would not have been able to receive the sacraments at the end of his life. And who knows how that benefited him. And it was like I experienced this mutual dependence that we all have on each other, that I depended upon my grandfather for life itself. That, by the way, is one of the reasons why we need to honor our parents and our grandparents and all of our elders, because we actually depend upon them for life. And my grandfather was depending upon me for the new life of grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I marveled at how God's providence works. And all those years when he was saying he moved the rock, it was as if he was telling me something. I tried to analyze it theologically and tried to drag him to a different direction, but it was like, no, I didn't have to. He really knew it. And that story, this is not just a story, but it's really happened. I was there. And people were very sad when he died, and I actually was happy. I was probably smiling, and I imagine people probably thought I was crazy or insensitive or somehow out of touch with reality. But I really felt that he went right in to the fullness of reality, of communion with all the angels and saints in heaven. And this inspired me so much, because here you had a man who was a real man in this world, and he was losing everything. Everything that he had up to that point in his life, he was losing it. And he knew it. He was dying. We all knew he was dying. He knew he was dying. And he said he moved the rock. In that moment where one would think people should despair and should question God and be angry with God with how can this happen to me, and how can this be happening now, and you know, why can't I have another few years or something, and why did I have to be sick and weak, and you know, why could not things have happened differently? He didn't do that. In that moment of kind of like that feeling of abandonment, he put his hope in Jesus Christ. And I share this story with you because if a man in that situation can put his hope in Christ, then so can we, and so should we. And remember that Christ really did move that rock by the power of God. He rose from the dead and is alive. He has conquered it all. He's conquered the worst possible thing that could ever happen. He's conquered it. And all we have to do is follow him. So brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the Easter season year after year, I share this story with you to inspire you to put your faith in Jesus Christ, to trust in him, to believe that everything he taught is worth your attention because he rose from the dead. Let his resurrection inspire you to know him, to love him, to serve him, to live that life of holiness which leads us to that communion with Christ, which is our source of happiness. I feel that my grandfather died a rich man and a happy man because he was filled with that grace that comes from Christ in the sacraments, and because he had this awareness, even in the time of death, that Jesus is alive, that death has been conquered. Dear brothers and sisters, Christ truly is risen as he said. Alleluia. May we trust in him with all our hearts and renew our devotion to him, knowing that he is the Son of God, he is the Lord, and he blesses us and he loves you. God bless you.